Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NCAA tournament day one is in the books. If you missed the late game, Michigan beat Montana rather easily, 74-55, behind Charles Matthews, 22 points. The Big Ten undefeated on day one. Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Maryland, Purdue, all winners.
Yeah, can I say this too, of just about day one here as we get ready for day two a little over 5 hours from now? Wasn't day one a little bit of a letdown? Just from a drama standpoint, there were a lot of games that were decided relatively early. I mean, Belmont, Maryland, yeah, came down to the end. New Mexico State made it interesting. I didn't buy them, though.
I know you didn't.
Auburn hung on there, you know, shot at the buzzer. But there wasn't buzzer beaters. There wasn't a crazy finish. You know, again, a lot of the games were double-digit victories.
Yeah, and the ones that were dramatic were made dramatic because teams started to really gag down the stretch. Auburn kind of gagged a little bit down the stretch and let him back into it.
Doesn't that lead you to believe that today could be nuts?
It could be.
You know?
It could be.
Oh, cool. All right.
I mean, maybe Duke loses. You know? You never know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it's interesting. Day one of the real stories of this tournament is Tom Izzo. And we're not saying that because we live in Michigan. We're saying that because it became a big topic, I know, on Twitter. A lot of the websites that people look at, the Big Lead, Deadspin, they highlighted this video. And again, if it wasn't for CBS picking up this coming off the court with Izzo kind of getting in the face of Aaron Henry and then the aftermath in the huddle itself, I don't think the average person would even know about it because, yes, the people in the arena might have noticed it. But like everything, unless the camera picks it up, it's almost like it doesn't happen. If somebody told you, oh, man, Izzo was giving Aaron Henry an earful at a timeout, you'd say, oh, okay, whatever. But because of the video, and particularly because of the finger, I think, and it wasn't the finger, it was the index finger, it really has rubbed some people the wrong way. So much so that one of the studio shows I was watching, and I forget which of the four CBS platforms it was on, but they had on Seth Davis, Jeff Capel, the former Duke player who's now the head coach at Pitt, Brendan Haywood, and Candace Parker. They broke it down like first take style. And I guarantee you, if you watch the first takes and the whatever, what's the show called that Skip Bayless does? The Unprosecuted?
Interrupted?
Whatever.
I forget what it is.
They will talk about it. It'll be a hot button issue, and that is, did Tom Izzo go too far?
See, I don't think that he went too far. And I want to start, by saying that I have no issue with coaches challenging players. I have no issue with, getting in the face of kids. I don't want to be this namby-pamby, millennial that I'm painted out to be by Wojo every night at 6 o'clock.
Oh, don't worry. He did the same thing to me, too.
I'm sure. Yeah, of course. You little candy ass, right?
Just not the millennial part. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I have no issue with that. In fact, I was somebody that always responded, to that when I was, a quote-unquote athlete at a previous age. But what I don't like is a coach taking away a kid's confidence. And I think you saw Aaron Henry break a little bit. Like, I think your job in the game is to make a player confident and make a player better and get, out there on the floor and feel free and just play and not be worried about, oh man, Izzo's over there. I wonder if he's going to get mad at me if I miss this shot. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Players should be out there playing. In practice, that I think is when you break down players, you get after them. But in a game, especially when Michigan State's on a 10-0 run, they're figuring it out, they're getting it going, and he picks on this young kid. And you saw Aaron Henry, whether it be the missed dunk, the turnover possessions later.
Listen, the missed dunk to me was 100% on Izzo.
Absolutely.
100% on Izzo, because that was a kid who was clearly lacking confidence, I think.
And people say, and we talked about it yesterday, Tom Izzo needs to win a second national championship. Well, I think that specifically right there, one of those instances, that's exactly why you're not going to win another national championship.
I'm not going that far. I
don't think most kids respond to that crap.
One of the things we always say on this show, and I'm sure you too as well, is I don't want someone to be something that they're not. Don't change who you are, right? Just be in character. And Tom Izzo, I think more than anybody else that I've ever seen, that's who he is.
Yes.
And that's who he's always been. And he's had great success doing it. And, you know, one of the points that Seth Davis made last night, and he mentioned the fact that, you know, he sounded like Wojo a little bit. I know Tom Izzo. I've covered Tom Izzo. I've had many conversations with him. And just know that for every time he gets in a kid's face on the floor, he's going to his dorm room in the afternoon. He's bringing him into his office. He's talking to him. He's getting on a one-on-one personal level. And even made the point, I'm not sure what the relevance is, but he said, Tom Izzo has never been that involved in USA basketball because he would much rather spend his time on campus with his guys, helping them mature. And when I first saw it, I was a little bit like, much like you, it's like, you're on a 10-0 run, man. And Henry seemed more confused than anything. It wasn't like he was saying, hey, man, I'll do what I want. He was more saying, what did I do? And apparently it was a lack of hustle back on defense. But I swear, and I'm not sure if you thought about this at all, Gov, but as a father, there are times where you really get angry with your kids.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, you really yell at them because they have either disrespected you, they've disrespected someone else. It's a pattern of behavior. I mean, that's kind of what Izzo said afterwards. If you think that's one thing that I'm yelling at, you don't know me very well. And there are times where your kids like repeatedly do things and you love your kids more than anything, but you scream at them and then you make amends and then you learn from it. And I think Izzo treats his players like kids. His kids, not children, his kids.
Him and Lupe, yeah.
And they respond for the most part. Now, some kids don't, and I agree with you on that. I think you coach different players different ways. And Izzo, you can bring up plenty of examples over the years of guys who I believe he's broken.
Yes.
Not built up, but broken down.
Well, Matt McQuaid, early in his career.
But
it hasn't
back.
Been until this year, yes,
true.
That he has responded
Paul
and become
Davis.
A real player.
Paul
like,
Davis.
Okay, say Cassius Winston was the guy that he just went after yesterday. I wouldn't bat an eye. Because Cassius Winston's a junior.
He did go after through. Cassius Winston
absolutely.
Yesterday.
See, and I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
I think it is very different when you're approaching one player as opposed to another. One player that can handle it and another player that you literally saw Aaron Henry dive into a shell as Tom Izzo was just going after him.
Fake. This is such fake outrage. Oh, and I'm telling you what right now. Tom Brady.
Hold on. Here comes real outrage.
Tom Brady called out teammates routinely on the sideline because there is a way and there is a standard. And it is absolutely unacceptable. I don't care if you're a senior or a freshman. I don't care if you're in third grade. If you don't get back on defense playing basketball under Tom Izzo, you're going to get an earful. Period. End of story. And if you don't get called out at some point in your life or something, then you're living a fake world, man, because we all get called out. We all deserve it. I've been called out in many situations before. It took me a long time to understand that I deserved it in some instances, but it's the damn truth. You know what? This is such fake outrage. This is such 2019 bull crap, man. It is. It is. It's a bunch of crap. And you could see that the McQuaid and I think there was another player in the huddle.
Goins. It was funny. Izzo looked like a dog who was barking randomly at people because he was like he was after Henry, and then Cassius kind of got in Izzo's face as if to say calm down, and he started going at Cassius, and then he started going at Goins too. I agree with you.
Not
to your level, but I agree with you, and I think
you do it now. You don't wait until you're a junior or senior. You lay the foundation now that this is unacceptable.
Well, especially in the NCAA tournament.
I mean,
this and that was the point he made afterwards is Izzo loves this line, but the my bads don't work in one and done. You can't say my bad in a one and done situation.
We have a clip from Sean Farnham and Dan Dockich talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested if Kyle maybe changes his tune a little bit after hearing this.
We're talking about the Tom Izzo, Aaron Henry thing. We'll get to your calls in just one second. But I just want to go back real quick to something Gov was talking about there. And I do think it is indicative of the times we live in that, you know, in the Twitter, Facebook, message board world, it's very easy to go online and just rip on things. I mean, we see this in offices. We see the policies of this place stink from unnamed user or whatever, as opposed to going up and saying, listen, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. And Izzo is very much of the old school. I will say what I think when I think it, and you're going to have to deal with it. And he recruits kids who can handle that, you know? And I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. The thing on the CBS that they were making an issue was the finger. It wasn't yelling at the kid. It was putting the finger in the face. That's what they had the problem with.
Yeah, and,
that was Haywood, Brendan Haywood, and Candace Parker. So a slightly younger generation than, say, Jeff Capel.
Yeah, and I don't even want to make this a generational issue because, it's not necessarily, of course, yeah, Gov made sure of that.
Yeah.
But I don't have an issue with the finger necessarily, the actions. Again, it's just that is a young player that's a kid that clearly wasn't at a point where he's ready to mentally and physically respond to something like that. And I don't think that's your job in the middle of a game to just kill a kid's confidence. You're supposed to instill confidence. And I thought it was the opposite effect.
To be fair, yes, he did miss a dunk. He made two really sloppy turnovers.
He came back and scored late.
He did score a big basket late. Yes. And as Izzo pointed out afterwards, he put him right back out there. He didn't pin him to the bench. And if you remember that game late in the season, I forget who they were playing, like maybe Nebraska. And they were doing, I think Dokic was doing the game. We'll get this audio in a second from Dokic. They interviewed Izzo at halftime and they said, so they're winning, but what do you think of your team's play? He goes, well, we're turning the ball over too much. And what are you going to say to your team in the second half or halftime? Whoever turns the ball over first in the second half is going to find themselves on the bench. And that player was Cassius Winston, who turned the ball over and he was right there on the bench. So he treats everybody pretty much the same.
Sometimes it depends too on a team. If you have players that are doing this, like, I think Draymond did this some for Izzo. He was basically a coach.
The police officer, almost, yeah.
You know, and when you might not have that present, then it takes the over-top reaction by the coach. Like, when I brought up Brady. Brady did it for Belichick. Look, there's other ways to coach. You can be a player coach and you can win. I prefer this style because I think it helps build men and women to be stronger later in life. I do. Just my opinion.
Look, I absolutely attest, some of, the drive and the work ethic that you have from coaches that I had at the youth level. I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that that's something that does, build that. And to your point, look, Matt McQuaid, Cassius Winston, guys who have been, basically the brunt of Tom Izzo, who have been pointed at just like that, they were the ones that were getting involved and I'm sure talked to Aaron Henry. And that is big. And I totally understand that. I just, again, in a game situation, you're not supposed to crush a kid. You're not supposed to have a kid looking over his shoulder at the coach.
If this is silly. If this is Rutgers in January, it's not as big of a deal. How you can't make it a bigger deal because it's on the NCAA tournament
stage.
No,
but I think what Kyle's saying, I don't want to speak for you, I do agree with your point. What I think what Kyle's saying is it's the coach's job to get the best out of the kid. And I think Izzo sometimes is always coaching for the life lesson. And sometimes
you need five minutes.
I think at other times he'd be better served. Like, again, going back to being a parent, and my wife is a much better parent than I am when it comes to dealing with kids' issues. Sometimes she'll pull me aside and go, yeah, in that particular instance, she just wants to be heard. She doesn't want advice. She just wants to be heard or something like that. So, again.
I will not say that maybe he slightly overreacted.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he got caught in the moment, too.
Right.
But I think it was the action, not getting back on defense. I mean, that is just anti-Izzo.
As the coach of this radio show, you coach Stoney differently than you coach me. Fair?
Yes, I do. And I also remember, and I'll be honest about it, I've been called into the office with you and Jimmy once, and it wasn't pretty.
Oh, yeah,
and I was put in my place, and I understood it, and I've been different since.
So, well, me too, actually.
There you go.
That was partially my fault.
What happened in that meeting?
Yeah. No.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
It was basically Rieger's fault. Anyway, let's go to William on his cell phone on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, William.
Good morning, Jimmy. Yep. My wife's a much better parent than me, too, so I can relate.
There you go.
Respectfully, I vehemently disagree with Gov, and I don't want to make this about Tom Izzo. I want to talk about coaching and accountability, because I agree with Gov. I think there has to be accountability, but where is the line on coaching behavior? Coaches have an option, and you guys talked about it. There's the bench, young man. Go sit and watch. That is the biggest penalty that you can give to a kid, to drive a message home. But I think when players have to restrain the coach from addressing another player, there's a problem. Cassius Winston, I think, is just an amazing leader. The fact that he was in the coach's face saying, what do you want me to communicate to the young man? Let me handle it. As you guys mentioned, the other players in the huddle standing up to restrain the coach from addressing the player. I think that's where it crosses the line, whether it's Rutgers or the NCAA tournament. The coaches have an option, and it's sit down, young man, and I'm going to get in your face while you're sitting down on the bench and talk to you and tell you what you need to do to get back on the floor. But I think this mentality of I'm going to attack a player, I just think it's wrong.
But see,
and I think that, go ahead.
I was going to say, William, I really do think that this is a case of something that is quote unquote caught on video. And that's why we're talking about it to such a great degree. My guess is if you watched every Izzo huddle, you would see this more often than you realize. Yeah. And I bet you every college basketball coach in America at any level was watching this unfold yesterday going, whoa, glad they don't video my huddles because mine are just as testy, if not testier. I think this is the nature of what happens here.
And, that, and Jamie, that's where I'm talking about. I don't think this is about Tom Izzo. I think it's about coaching. And I think the line is when players have to physically restrain the coach. I'm with Gov. I don't think there's any problem with in-the-moment accountability. I think that's the best way to improve anyone's performance, either in the business world or in the sports world. But where is the line where that intensity, that in-your-face, that in-the-moment, where it goes just a little bit too far?
But it never...
and again, subjective, I think it's when the players have to restrain.
Well, yeah, and William, coaches always preach keeping your composure and having things under control. That's why it's so funny when, you know, coaches are, you know, again, trying to make sure that their players are disciplined. Meanwhile, they're going and getting a technical or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's silly. It
but
really
you
is.
You know what? And Izzo didn't fight back against the restraining. I don't think he was ever going to touch Henry.
Never.
No,
that's,
yeah,
that's
no,
no.
Yeah,
but
I
he
never
didn't,
thought that.
I agree.
He didn't push back to those guys.
No.
He allowed them to do it, you know? And to me, that's a respect thing as well. I mean, Henry has to gain his respect. I don't think he personally insulted him. I'm absolutely – there's no physical touching. Never. And there is no personal,
yeah, I never thought
personal
that for a
insults.
Second.
I'm not into using the P word and, you know, saying you're a wimp and a maybe a homophobic thing or something like that that has been thrown around many times in a
right.
in locker room situation. Let's be real, guys. Come on, man.
And let's give Tom Izzo credit for a guy who's had a distinguished quarter century career, and he has never been accused of touching a player.
No.
And he knows the line. He knows how to march right up to that line and not go over. This is not Woody Hayes we're talking about here. So to say that Izzo was restrained is not accurate. There are guys who stepped in, and that's if you read Wojo's column this morning on the Detroit News website, he says, Winston stepped in and said, Coach, I think it might be, and I'm paraphrasing here, I think it might be more effective coming from me than from you. What do you want me to tell Henry? And so Izzo told him, and he told Henry, and that actually shows the leadership, like you said, Gov, of Cassius Winston and Matt McQuaid.
This can be a moment for this team. You got a young player that you need, that you're going to have to get something out of if you're going to beat Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's trying.
He's not going to beat Duke.
He got the
up. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
What if Aaron Henry
yeah.
gains something from this and becomes that guy that we've seen, that X factor on tournament champion teams that all of a sudden, you know, Sean Higgins.
Yeah.
You know, Justice Winslow, who just got on fire in the tournament that year.
Yeah.
We've seen this time and time again. Well, maybe that's what he's trying to spark.
And you mentioned what Seth Davis had to say about Izzo spending time with players. What do you want to bet that when Izzo wakes up this morning, the coffee's, you know, brewing, he's going
coffee.
To Aaron. Oh, never mind. Okay, no. Maybe some hot tea, although apparently that causes cancer.
He
so
told us that last
you
week.
Don't
I
that.
Asked him that question. He goes, I've never had coffee in my life. I was like, really?
Wow.
But anyway, go
Why
ahead.
Why wouldn't you drink coffee? He's probably going to Aaron Henry's room this morning.
Absolutely.
And having a conversation with him. Like, I do think the life lesson, it's absolutely there. And I do think it's going to instill some toughness. Just in the moment, I don't think it served a great purpose at the time.
Okay.
I don't.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.